to do this stuff here. I can just pick this up later. And I didn't mention R1 or R2 anywhere during my presentation. That's my goal.
I think you're an R3.
Yes, we had a nice civics lesson this morning.
Thanks for letting me know.
Thank you very much.
They forgot to tell me that.
The next item on the agenda is 4.0, tabling of petitions. I'm not aware of any petitions this morning. Are there any petitions to be presented? Calling for the second time for petition, third and final time. No petitions coming forward. We will move on to 5.0, public question and comment session. Please state your name and your address and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please.
I thought there for a moment I was going to have to leave from where I had to be. On your agenda. Anyway, Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Just a couple of quick comments here. Under 9.2, section 2 there, with the sum of properties, residential and commercial ones, under the commercial there, the one on with respect to the Gorham School property, and the way it looks on the map, it's on, I assume that includes the old jail part where the jail said as well, because there's a number of PIDs listed there. So it includes both of them, that would be.
There would be more than one small lot there, Leon.
Pardon?
There would be more than one small lot on that property, but they'd all be part of that lot.
Right. Okay. So that would put us to sale along with the rest of your park. And under 13.3, the rezoning there on Main Street, with respect to the building now that has an empty storefront, but it has three, I understand from the information, it has three apartments on the main level now, and the owner is looking to use the frontage of the building to put in up two more apartments.
includes some roof water and our athletes and teams, because we don't have a track here that they can actually run around the 400 meter. So that experience is totally different from them when they get to the summer games, and some of them might qualify for national games, which is in Nova Scotia in 2018 at St. Pat's, which is fantastic. We're really hoping to get some athletes there. But in Bridgewater, we have that curfew track that we can access, fighting for access with everyone else who's trying to use it. So we can go there every week, every Saturday morning, and have our practice. And the athletes in Bridgewater get that experience. They know that when they leave that starting line, when they get back around again, it's 400 meters, or the 100 meter is marked out. Whereas our athletes from Queens are at a disadvantage because they don't get that experience before they actually get to games. And as the high school teachers said, transporting athletes, that's great. I'm a parent as well as a coach, so I can transport my daughter to the Saturday morning practice or to down there to practice on the track. But some of our participants live in group homes. They don't have access to that. And I can only transport two or three athletes at a time. There's only two coaches. We're limited in how many athletes we can transport to Bridgewater to practice. So we certainly would be behind. I can't speak for the committee as a whole, but I certainly would be going back to our committee to ask what we can do to help get this, because it would be a fantastic opportunity for our athletes as well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Thank you. We will now move on to 6.1, a motion to approve the minutes of the May 9th, 2017 regular council meeting. The order, Councilor Fisk moves, seconded Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly. Nothing under economic development, 8.0. Under corporate services, we have 9.1. Nova Scotia Transit Research Incentive Plan. Councilor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on this?
Sure. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve, first, the contribution agreements valued at up to $20,000 with the Department of Municipal Affairs for the development of a transit business plan and pre-pilot implementation for a community transit solution for the Region of Queens Municipality, and to the funding of the municipality portion of this project to be a maximum of $6,500 from previous year's operating surplus.
Second for that motion, Councilor Fairley. And Councilors, well, first of all, the CAO will speak on that. Give us a brief update.
Sure. So where this came from is last year in 2016, the region received a grant from the Department of Municipal Affairs to participate in the first phase of the trip, the transportation research funding, which enabled a lot of work to happen around the feasibility of a community transit solution. And the work was done in consultation with a working group which included a number of key stakeholders in the community. Queens Care Society kind of co-drove this with us. And the work was interesting, and it's important, it is important going through this, that the examination is about community transit solutions, not a municipal or a public transit solution. It's looking at how communities can come together to deal with transit opportunities. So the findings were that potentially a community transit service may be feasible in Queens. And that report was presented to council a few months ago. So we applied for funding for the next two phases of TRIP to pay for refinement of the business plan. And should we get through that effectively, some pre-pilot implementation and some pilot projects for the community transit solution. So, basically this, in your package is the contribution agreements with municipal affairs and, we'll continue that work.
Any councilors have any questions or comments? Councilor Johnson?
I just have a question to ask of the, am I in conflict to vote on this motion where I'm part of the Queen's Care Society and the Friends working?
You're not getting pecuniary interest from it. I think it would be a stretch.
Okay, all right.
Any other councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. We'll move on to 9.2, surplus property declaration recommendation. Councilor Muse, if you'd like to take the lead on 9.2.
It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality declare the following properties as surplus for listing with a residential realtor or direct sale. PID 7001-6159, PID 7001-7983, PID 7004-0423, PID 7002-7982, PID 7001-9872, PID 7001-279, PID 7002-9483, PID 7001-5532. Number two, declare the following properties as surplus for listing with a commercial broker. PID 7001-8817, PID 7001-8296, PID 7002-8006, and PID 7002-46061, and PID 7002-46079.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Johnson? Any discussion with councilors? Councilor Fisk?
I really have no problem with this list except for one property, and that would be the former Gorm school property. I think we should not hurry into that property and list it at all.
Any other councilor? Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I'm having a problem with this because although I agree totally that we should be, if we're not using it, we should sell it, but I don't know enough about these properties, and this information here, some of them don't even have, I'm looking here, the PID, so that's the Gorm School property. Which PID is goes with the Gorm School property? So that's number one. Number two is these outlines, I have no idea, I can't tell from these pictures, or is there a way I can look up, I don't know, these PIDs so that I can see exactly where the property is, what it is, and if it's in my district, and how it might affect the residents of my district if it's sold. Are they all, zoning is not included on here anywhere, is it? Are they all zoned R1? I mean, the Gorm School must be.
For your information, on each lot, there is a street number attached to that diagram, so.
The street number is where?
Attached to the diagrams other than Wolf Street?
Is it attached?
On that page. So if you were to flip over and you were to have a look, it's got under 9.2. If you were to look at that, it has, as an example, 44 White Point Road. So there is.
I'm looking at PID 7001-6159. It says Wolf Street. And on Wolf Street, it's got a piece of property, but I can't tell where it is.
Well, if you're looking at that picture on the right of that page, it's Wolf Street and the intersection of Town Lake Road. It's the lot right at the north side of that intersection in that picture.
Yeah, I see that, but I still, like I say, I don't know that because I couldn't even blow it up on the computer so that I could actually see where these properties are. I can't see the street names. I can't see the number for the lot or where it is on the street names for that. And
not for me to promote Viewpoint, but if you look at Viewpoint, it will pull up a map of the town of Liverpool. You can blow them up and fit all of these onto the Viewpoint as a background research database for yourself. Or ask staff in the office exactly where they are, and I'm sure any staff would pinpoint that for you. Acting Municipal Clerk Jennifer, would you like to speak?
Bear in mind, these are just it's surplus properties. It's properties that the region currently does not have a use for. And any purchase and sale agreement or potential purchase and sale agreement of these properties will come forward to council for your approval. So, you know, at
we'll
that point in time,
at
you can look
point,
into
so
more detail. And for now, it's just we're not using these properties, so it's a way to kind of get them out of our and into tax payable dollars instead.
Could I just know one thing right now? Other than the Gorm Street property, are they all R1s?
Okay.
I don't believe that's been identified on any of these sheets. So that's a question that staff would have to answer.
Can we have that answer now? Do we have
it, would it be relevant to anything at this point in time, Councillor Kelly, to know if they are or aren't?
I think so, yes. I think that if we knew what we were actually selling here as a general overview before we go forward, I'd like to know if there's anything in there that maybe I should be flagged for concern for later. If anything's designated an R3 that we're selling.
As I said before, though, any potential purchase and sale deal will come forward to council for your approval at that point.
Right.
You could decide on that or consider that decision at that time.
Right. Thank you.
So I have Councillor Johnson next.
I believe Jennifer answered my question because I was thinking about are we holding on property that could be, have a strategic value down the road, but if it's coming back here, those questions will be answered.
Our CAO, would you like to comment?
Sure. So the properties that selected, so starting in 2016, when we first did the review, we had 299 properties listed on property online. This last bunch was going through and really looking for properties that had were in residential areas. I'm not sure which ones might be zoned R1, R2, R3, but the intent was to identify properties that were close at, were serviced or close to service that we could enable for development that would be logical for residential. The small property on Wolf Street is too small to be a building lot, so we're just asking it to be declared surplus so we can offer it to
mm-hmm.
one of the neighbors, neighboring properties. And again, the Gorm School property has yet to be declared surplus by council. We have talked to some potential developers about it before, but in fact, without it being declared surplus, staff doesn't have direction to move forward to really promote that property for any type of development. There's a number of larger parcels that we'll continue to look at. However, some of those parcels have some development challenges or opportunities. So questions around servicing or on-site servicing or those sort of things. So we'll continue to go through the list and bring those to council.
Any other councillors have a question or comment? Are you ready for a question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed? Thank you very much. It passes 7-1. We will move on to 9.3, surplus declarations, Upfield Community Hall. Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead?
It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipalities declare PID number 701316513969 Highway 210 the surplus and directs as surplus and direct staff to proceed with options to dispose of the property.
Seconded to that, Deputy Mayor McLeod. CAO, sorry, John.
Sure. So this was a property, I believe, a former school at one point in time had been operated by the Buckfield Community Association. They gave us our notice that they were disbanding some time ago. Recently, the title of the property came to the region, and we have no identified municipal purpose for the property.
Any discussion? Councilor Councilor Billick?
So when you say dispose of it, what, can you explain that?
So for this property, there are options for disposal. For this property, you would tender it first to look to see if there'd be potential buyers. Obviously, going through fair market value sale to developers. If no developers came forward, it could also be made available for not-for-profits. However, we know that there's a community group that left, so I'm not sure that there's that's so we would just tender it first and see what happens.
Good, because you know, keeping in mind this is a historical building as well. It's been there quite a long time, and we would like to see it not in landfill.
Any other councillors? Councillor Chris?
I just think there's the potential there for a buyer maybe to go in there and maybe whatever, build a garage out of it or keep it. As far as the historic site, as we all know, it's an old schoolhouse, the original schoolhouse, and it's a building that's going to be an eyesore if they don't do something with it. And I'm just hoping if it does go tender, where people get it.
Any other councillor? Councillor Kelly?
So, just on that point as well, staff proceed with options to dispose, so those options would come back to council.
Again, yes, so council would, we would, so what we would do is we would tender this, we'll post this, and it's available to tender it. If that doesn't work, then we'll look at potentially listing it. But we, instead of involving real estate at this point, we're going to, we would like to try and tender it.
Any other councilor? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Under 10.0 engineering works, Brad is going to provide us with a update today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll give you a brief update. Much what was given 2 weeks ago still applies. The continuation of the same work last outlined. And really, in a 2 week period, it's much too brief for any substantive changes on large capital projects. That said, the concrete curb and gutter on Main Street from Reese to Wentworth is installed, both sides of the road. The sidewalk will be installed this week if the weather permits. And that's exposed to aggregate, and that takes you know, the right weather to make that happen. So we'll have to wait and see how the week turns out. The services on Lower School Street, as outlined here 2 weeks ago, and that's from Main down to the pump station near the old Stenpro lands. We did get that done last week, and that will enable us now to move into the intersection, which will then further enable us to activate the water main from Wentworth to school, and then those properties fronting that area can then be serviced off that new main. Moving into the skate park, bike park, we're going to increase our efforts and focus on skate park, bike park over the next couple of weeks. The skate park, all the concrete elements have been cast. There's some ceiling, quite a bit of miscellaneous details that need to be attended by the contractor on the site. The electrical conduits that power the on-site electrical service and will provide for any future lighting at the site that the municipality may wish to pursue in the future, that's installed. We'll be working on the landscaping throughout the next couple of weeks. The viewing stand, that's expected to be erected the first week of June. And additionally, we secured two aluminum bleachers for use at the site, and they're over there now. We'll locate those. Now, at the same time, we're going to be working on the bike park. That's a little bit more weather dependent, so that will be enabled to be used. I mean, it's used somewhat, but it needs a little bit of shaping and a little bit of work there, that's for sure. So, any questions?
Any councillors? Councillor Fancy?
Just got a question, because I've had multiple people ask me this last week.
Yep.
Is there going to be any stipulations, especially over with the skate park, of helmets or anything? I mean, is it going to be required, or do a certain age have to?
Council, what we'll be doing is we'll install some signage that will indicate that we recommend helmets. We can't require helmets unless we are have 2 feet on the ground there all the time to supervise it.
Okay.
And it's different how we're liable that way.
Mm.
So we recommend their use.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other councilors? Councilor Johnson? Just a quick one. Do you have any idea, Brad, when it's going to be officially open?
I believe I asked that question. The Grand Gala opening is July 1st. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the grand opening.
Yeah. when it's open, you know, there's users that are using that now, and there's no construction danger there, so we don't restrict that because the concrete's poured. Have at her, guys, right? But in terms of it's open, I guess that comes with the gala event. You know, because we have to put sod down and, you know, all that pretty stuff and stuff.
And that was my question.
Yep.
Because I wanted to do some planning around trying to get some skaters.
Sure.
Put our way in here for that opening.
Yep.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Brad, things are progressing well. That's good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Community's active.
Yeah,
the infrastructure aspect of it. I'm going to be attending the Kiwanis luncheon today, hopefully, if I get out in time. And I want to approach them, and this has nothing to do with construction, but I know we discussed a little bit of this. It's the fire hydrant's going down Brooklyn Highway number 3 and that sort of thing. I'm hoping to get them to paint them similar.
Okay,
you
I
know,
recall
and
that.
So I know we talked with them in the past.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get the Key Club as the young group that might want to do it. So as far as that goes, I can just tell them that it's okay to go ahead. And do they have to approve, like, any of the paint or any of that stuff, or is that just...
No, we... I remember when that came up before Councilor McLeod. I mean, we spoke to the then Chief Parnell for Liverpool Fire Department, and he didn't have any issues with those hydrants at that location being painted.
So we can just
go
and
ahead.
Work with
yep.
whoever paints the ones in
yep.
town to see what they best
yep.
use. So that's great. So I'm hoping to have them painted by lighthouses on the lighthouse route. So I'm working on that. Anyway.
Councilor Kelly?
I wanted to say that I had a couple of residents on Main Street talk to me about what's going on down there, and that mainly it's all been good things that they're saying. They've been everyone's very helpful with helping people that live in that area to get down the road through the curbs into their properties, and they've all been very positive about, you know, they know that the work has to be done and stuff like that. There are some concerns about the curb, and I understand the access to some of the properties that you might be looking at for some of the residents there, on access to their property and how the roads are progressing.
Well, we deal with them, each one. There's one property that probably has more grade than the rest to make up. But what we do, and I think I know which property you're talking about, we've discussed that with the property owner, and they are happy with what we're going to do. We'll blend the driveway back into their property so that it's not a sharp, abrupt rise to the curb. You have to blend it, repave it, of course. If there's any steps or walks, I mean, we replace those, recast them. So at the end of the day, I mean, they're left with a pretty nice product.
Yeah.
And I can just think over the years that we run into those issues. When the project's all said and done, I mean, it's our aim for everybody to come out smiling, right?
Yeah.
So I know there's issues that always come up in these.
Yeah.
You know, the grades doesn't work this way, but we make it right so that the property owners aren't unduly unhappy.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
And that's what I have been suggesting to them, and those are the conversations that we have had,
yeah.
is that, you know, they mean that it's all going to be put right and you won't be left with anything
that's
not convenient
yeah.
for them or any less than what they had before. So that's a good thing that we're having that conversation. As far as the skate park's concerned, the kids are absolutely loving it over there right now, and there's a lot of them using it. I did actually have a word with some of them over there. Maybe I was wrong. I mean, I just pointed out to the fact that some of them aren't wearing helmets. And I said, well, did you know it's legal requirement to wear helmets? And they said, yes. I said, okay, as long as you know that.
Yeah.
If the RCMP drove, because I spoke to the dog sergeant or Constable Ross James about it, and he said, yeah, scooters, skateboards, whatever, bicycles, BMXs, no matter what, they have to have a helmet on.
And so I was quite right, I think, in telling them that even though it's on the skate park, it still falls within the RCMP. I said, if the RCMP drove right by right now, they would come in here and give you a fine for not wearing a helmet. And they said, yeah, we know. I'm like, okay, I'm glad that you're aware. So I'd like to say they're aware, and you're right, if you put up signs to say that, that you need this, and
I spoke.
Not adhering, that's down to their own personal, you know,
sure.
they know they expect a fine from the RCMP.
And I spoke last week with a senior skater. I guess we could call it that way. He's not senior in those
yeah.
terms, right? But senior in terms of some smaller kids, right? And as we discussed all along, and they're still in that mindset, those senior skaters, in fact, do a lot of the enforcement, right? Because they want to make sure everyone's using it properly, with the right equipment, the right safety equipment, and so on. So that's what you'll see, I think, at the end. You know, that it'll the enforcement will come
so
within the user group as much as possible. If it doesn't, then, you know, some action has to be. The only thing is we can't require it. If we do, we're going to have to hire somebody to sit there and supervise the site, right?
Any other councilors have any questions or comments? Fred, I have one issue I thought perhaps you may like to explain a little better today. Some bikes have stabilizing pegs or foot pegs. And you might want to speak about their impacts to the skate park.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the issues I spoke to with the skater I just spoke of, right? And he noticed there was a few BMX bikes. Now, this was probably going back now 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. They had pegs, and they're basically little round pegs, I guess, cylinders that come off the rear axles, front axles, primarily in the rear, which allows BMX bikes to do trick and so on. Well, that's great in a gravel surface or a dirt surface. They're hellish on a skate park because they'll gouge the concrete surface, and then before long you don't have a smooth rolling surface, and you know, there's some skate parks in other jurisdictions that outright forbid bikes. Well, we're not going to do that. So what we did is we quickly, after we learned this, we got some signs made on site. And I think it says in very bold, vivid, attention, bike pegs strictly prohibited, right? And that's protect the skate park, right? To make it good for everyone so it lasts a long time. That kind of signage then enables those senior skaters to conduct their own enforcement, because now they have to, you know, the junior guys, they say, look, guys, see that sign right there? Come on. Right. So that's what that's all about. Or you, I guess you asked a question. I forgot.
Thank you, Brad. Any other questions for Brad before we close? Thank you, Brad.
Okay.
Very, very helpful. Well, I have nothing today under 11.0 finance. Nothing under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. We've already dealt with 13.1 under planning. We will now move to 13.2 under planning. Land use bylaw zoning, one of the zoned municipal lands on Bar Street. Councilor Frelick, would you like to take the lead on this one?
So what? I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to adopt a bylaw respecting amendments to the Region of Queens Municipality land use bylaw, which would see rezoning of PID number 7002-1126 from restricted residential R1 to multiple unit residential R3. And that a public hearing be held on June 20th, 2017 in the Council Chambers of Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:55 p.m.
Seconded to that motion? Deputy Mayor McCrory. Mike, would you like to give us a quick briefing on this?
Sure. I guess as you're all aware, Council has recently entered into a purchase and sale for this parcel of land, looking at buyers looking at several multiple unit residential buildings on this property. The property is currently zoned as restricted residential R1, so it's a matter of a process to enable the developer to proceed. A rezoning to a multiple unit residential R3 classification is required to meet the future development purposes. So.
Any comments or questions? questions of councilors on this? Councilor Johnson?
I just got one quick question. Where is the physical access to this property?
There's off of Bar Street. See, there's a little hatched area. It's about 55 to 60 feet of frontage on Bar Street.
It's not up next to the cemetery, is it?
No.
Residences.
No.
Any other councilors have any questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to 13.3, residential units on the ground floor and commercial zone. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this?
As to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality maintain status quo respecting the number of ground floor residential units in the building located at 290 Main Street in Liverpool.
Seconded by Councilor Crowe. Mike, would you like to give us a quick briefing?
Yep, some of the background on this property in question. There is currently an existing development agreement on the property, which allows the property owner to have three residential dwelling units on the ground floor in that building. The former commercial space back in 2008, 2010 was part of that was converted to residential dwelling units under a development agreement process. So council has by policy the ability to consider residential units on the ground floor through the development agreement process. So the owner of the property now has some new vacant commercial space, what was formerly the Main Street Quickway, that he has been unable to find a new tenant for, and he is wishing now to amend the existing development agreement to allow the conversion of that vacant commercial space to residential dwelling units. Council has had fairly recent discussion around this topic over the last few months. I guess it's been brought through Planning Advisory Committee and to Council on a couple of occasions. There is a number of vacant commercial spaces on Main Street or in the Liverpool downtown area. At what point does it cease to become a commercial area essentially become a residential area by further allowing the conversion of the vacant commercial spaces into residential dwelling units? So council has the ability to consider, but it's the recommendation of Planning Advisory Committee that that council maintain status quo and to not allow further erosion of the commercial core area to residential.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor?
We've had a lengthy discussion at Planning Advisory Committee, and I will not be supporting the motion. However, I would like to suggest through this motion or through the results of the motion that we review our opportunities for the policy that we have set in place for changing those back to under the development agreement that was set years ago, Mike, and that we did have this specific opportunity for businesses to apply through a development agreement to change those for apartments or housing to be residential units to be at the bottom. So I think the Planning Advisory Committee should review that, because we're being bombarded a lot with those questions and suggestions. And we have the opportunity here with council to review that, and that would prevent any of these further erosion of the commercial properties on Main Street.
Any other councilor? Are you ready for the question on the motion? motion? I have aye in favor of the motion. Those opposed? Any opposed? It is carried. Thank you. So, we move on to 13.4, Elm Street renaming. I would ask Heather Cook if she would come forward with Mike McLeod as well. And I would ask Deputy Mayor McLeod if she would like to take the lead on 13.4.
13.4. 13.4, I'm trying to find it.
Just pass it to you.
Oh, that one. Well, I was paying attention. I can see it. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the renaming of Elm Street in Liverpool to Wilder's Way.
Seconded to that? Seconded by Councilor Kelly.
That's interesting.
Mike and Heather, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Let me start.
Do it.
Yeah, so I guess this item was back a couple of months when we had a request from a property owner on corner of Main Street and Elm Street in Liverpool, respecting some confusion over duplication of street names and having parcels delivered to their address. So with that, council gave the direction back in March for staff to look at or initiate the process to rename Elm Street in Liverpool to another name. So with that in mind, staff initiated a request for submissions from the public for a new street name for Elm Street. So that was open about a month or 4 weeks? Or
it was a month.
Yeah,
month.
About a month. And we received 26 submissions for potential names for Elm Street. So as part of our process, we went through and reviewed the list of submissions and to weed out some duplicate or similar road names so that we weren't back into the same place we began with already pre-existing street names throughout Queens. So there were several names that were struck off the list because they were duplicate or too similar in nature to other names that existed. As well, staff made contact with individuals whose names were submitted or the families thereof, just as a matter of consideration to see determine if they were comfortable with having either their names or names of their relatives brought forward for potential naming. And several of them weren't comfortable with that, and their names were also removed from the list. So council was forwarded a copy of the potential names to have the street renamed as, and were asked to rank those names on their first, second, third name choices. So with that, staff tallied up the numbers, and the name of Wilder's Way was the top choice from members of council to rename Elm Street. So,
Heather, do you have any idea?
No, it was a well responded to contest. We had a lot of good submissions, and I think council made a good choice.
Any comments or questions by councilors? Any ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Under reports, we have 14.1, Building Inspector's Monthly Report for your information. Councilors have any questions, comments on that? Yes, Councilor Johnson?
I'm just trying to look at these numbers. I just need some understanding that, you know, for the current month, total value of building permits is $400,000, where that was more than, you know, past year, and I don't, I just need a little bit of an understanding as to how that number is so large as compared to 9,000, or, oh, I'm sorry.
It's 9 million.
9 million. I got my digit wrong.
So you, you have your answer, Counselor?
I got my answer, gotta move my digits.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? So we'll move on to the bylaw enforcement officer's monthly report. Any questions or comments of that? I do, Counselor Fisk?
Just wondering if sometime we could have an update, a verbal update from our bylaw enforcement officer sometime in the future.
Yes, certainly we can.
No, no hurry about it, but thank you.
We'll address that, thank you. Any other counselors? Counselor Johnson?
Just a comment, I had an opportunity to do a ride along with both the bylaws enforcement officer and the building inspector. And I can tell you, I got a whole new appreciation for what those people go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no property to stop at, but you have to determine what mountain do you want to tackle today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interdepartmental, there's animals involved, there's people's safety involved, the whole nine yards. So I encourage any other counselor who gets the opportunity to do the ride along.
Thank you. So now we'll move on to 14.3, which is the report on the UNSM meeting.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for three of us to attend the UNSM meeting at St. Francis University in Antigonish. And I've got a written report, and I can photocopy it and give it to all the counselors. I thought it would be a better way to do that. Report to the Region of the Queens Municipal Council, Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities Spring Workshop, May 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2017 at St. FX University, Antigonish. This workshop was attended by Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod, Councillors Gil Johnson, and Heather Keller. It was a pleasure and a great learning experience for us to attend, especially since there had been no attendance by the Region of Queens Municipality at these sessions for many years. Previous to the workshop, we attended a day session with Engage Nova Scotia. This organization is a coalition of businesses, community leaders, and specialists who share and promote effective ways to bring the community, municipal leaders, and other organizations together to discuss effective ways to get public participation in their efforts to improve living, learning, and achieve thriving communities. This was a great workshop, which resulted in lots of new innovative ideas complemented with enthusiasm for wanting to go forward. The UNSM workshop included the caucus meetings with members. We attended the rural caucus meeting and participated in the discussions which were on the agenda. It was an opportunity to engage with other municipalities and what was important to them. Agenda items included physician recruitment, waste reduction innovation, building international relationships, gas tax fund and asset management, UNSM initiatives, and working together with municipalities and other government levels. The regional enterprise network progress and discussions on effectiveness of this model working together on economic development initiatives were discussed. There was a session with several candidates for the upcoming provincial election, an opportunity for the UNSM and municipal leaders to discuss the issues and topics on the minds of municipalities that affect their residents. It was an excellent workshop with lots of participation and dialogue and networking with other municipalities and towns who try to do the best for their residents and taxpayers. It was a pleasure to attend, and we encourage our municipality to be continue to be active part of this organization of UNSM, which in fact are considering a name change. More of that to come. Sincerely submitted, Susan McLeod, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any questions or comments on that report? Okay. Councilor Johnson?
Just as being privileged to be part of that, I only can echo the fact that support, you know, to be able to be part of that organization, and the fact that we're carrying that united word, we're not out there, you know, piecemealing this thing on our own. And the other side of it is, but we have to keep, in my mind, an idea of how we stay regional, because there are regional issues versus the provincial side of it. But from my own personal development, the linkages that adds to a lot of our initiatives through the SHIP grant, to the SHIP report, and just the municipal affairs is huge, and understanding some of the different pieces is
thank you very much. We will move on now. I have nothing under 15-0 other. So a motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Fancy, seconded by Councilor Fisk, that we go in camera.
I know.
Question.
Ready for the question? All those in favor? Thank you very much. We will